Welcome to Career Tools. This week, relationship errors, the common enemy, part two. The questions this cast answers are, why is the common enemy strategy unhelpful? How do I avoid falling into the common enemy trap? And what should I do instead? If you've always wanted to attend one of our Effective Manager conferences, but you've never been able to travel to one, good news. We've been doing them virtually for 2 years now. We've got really good at it. So we have one starting May 10th, 10 o'clock Eastern time, which is just about the perfect time. After breakfast, but not too close to lunch, we'll be running one-on-ones on May 10th, feedback May 11th, coaching May 17th, and delegation on May 18th. And by then you'll be ready to manage any team anywhere. To sign up, go to our website, look for training. Last week, we talked about this common enemy strategy. And this week, we're going to talk about what happens when you get the invite to a common enemy party, I guess, and what to say to refuse that invite. So the common enemy strategy is when somebody says to you, I hate that printer. And the invitation is for you to say, I hate that printer too. And you bond over your shared hate for the printer or the person or the client or the IT team or a process or anything else.
Or HR.
We hate HR. Anything that divides you and puts you in a team together. Team of two, team of 50, doesn't matter. And the art of this, we talked in the last cast about how that's counterproductive. The art of this is not to accept invitation. And you don't have to agree with someone when they invite you to accept this invitation to be something enemy. So the aim is to be Switzerland, to be neutral on everything, which is not to say you never have an opinion or a preference. It means even when you do, you can accept there's other ways to do things, other perspectives, other preferences, all of which are valid, some of which the organization will do and some of which they won't. If somebody else is entitled to the decision, they're going to make the decision outside of unethical and illegal, obviously.
Yeah. If someone has a preference to do something that's illegal, then no, that's not, we don't accept that that's a valid way of, going about their business.
No. You can say it's not how I would have done it. It doesn't have to sound like a condemnation. It can be a neutral comment if you keep it out of your voice. There are ways to disagree, to diffuse the moment without making an agreement that this thing or this process or whatever it is your enemy. So we're going to give you some examples, fairly simple examples with what may sound quite stilted, but remember, A, they are stilted because they're scripted. And B, these moments go by in a flash. Nobody else is thinking about what you said 3 hours later, apart from you.
Right.
So these are just to help you get through that moment and nobody else is thinking about it.
Yeah. So, a simple example would be someone says, I hate Microsoft Office, right? Sorry, Microsoft, if you have folks that are listening. Insert your program here, right? You don't have to agree automatically with this blanket hatred of one particular piece of software or one particular tool that we use. We all know that software is frustrating. And ironically, it's one of those things where the better it gets, the more frustrating it is when something doesn't work the way we want it to, right? 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we would have never said, well, it should just know, or I should just be able to talk to it and it would just know, right? Now it's like, wait, I have to push a button, right? I have to do stuff.
Why doesn't it know I'm on a Mac and just download the right one? It never did that 10 years ago.
Yeah, it never did that.
We had to tell it.
I'm sure I've told this before on a cast, but my vehicle, I have to have a key and turn the key to start the ignition. Like a barbarian, like a caveman. And nowadays, right, we think, what do you mean you have to have a key? You don't just have the little fob and you sit in your car and push the button, right? At some point, it'll just know you want it to start the car and, read your brainwaves.
I remember telling Mark he got a new phone And I remember he said, how do I transfer my stuff from phone to phone? And I looked it up. And I remember sending him an email that said, I know this is going to sound like I made it up, but you just put them next to each other and it happens magically. And now everybody does that.
Yeah, it's so good. It's like, I think the first time I got an Apple Watch and it was like, just scan this, just hold your watch under your phone camera and then everything will happen. And I was like, what? No, how does it know?
Be real. Yeah.
That can't be right.
Yes.
No one knows why, you know, a software developer would make the decisions about how that software works the way it does and you know, all of that.
Other software developers.
Even software developers. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a guy working on something else and he's using Microsoft Word and going, why would a guy make this decision? That's what makes me laugh.
Right. So instead of saying things like, oh, I know that's it's the worst, right? Instead, you could say, I know it's frustrating. I feel that way too when I can't get it to do what I want or can't achieve what I'm looking for. You could say, well, can I help you? What is it that you're trying to achieve, right? And one of the things you could say is, depending on how well you know that person, maybe they're at the point where it's just, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, it's cranky time. You could say, is it time for a break? Do we need to go get a coffee refill, right? Let's go get a cup of tea.
Yeah, there are days when...
There are those days.
Yeah, just a cup of tea is just what everybody needs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Next example, this is an example of those departments. They're nearly always in the support realm, but not always, but nearly always. And they get in the way of the rest of the organization who are doing things. So someone says legal always get in our way, or procurement, sales, HR, one of those usually. Mm-hmm. Pretty much any department in the company, but often
other than
the supports. Yeah, other than yours.
We actually happen to be the one department that is trying to, you know,
and
do
without
the right
us,
thing.
Nothing would happen.
Right. But,
yeah. And so somebody sitting next to you says, I legal, always getting in our way. And so you can say, you know what? I understand how you feel. The bigger picture is, of course, they're protecting the company. But, you know, in the moment, it's frustrating.
Yep.
You can use the feel, felt, found construction. There is a podcast called Feel, Felt, Found with some more examples, but it goes like this. I can see why you feel that way. I felt that way too. I found that it's easier to ask them what they want before I start pulling it together. So you acknowledge how they feel. You tell them you found that you have felt that way too. And then you tell them, here's a hint. Here's how I've got out of that or avoided that trap in the past.
I'm surprised that that cast doesn't get more listens when I see what's at the top of the list, because there's such a, I think it's really prevalent nowadays to ensure people are, they feel seen and feel heard and all of that. And feel, felt, found is so helpful to kind of acknowledge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I get where you're coming from. And I've felt like that way too. And then also be productive or, yes, or effective and try to
do
be helpful.
Yeah, like move on from that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one, I have a contact over there that's usually helpful. Do you want me to call them and see if they can help, or shall I give you their number? Like, if you can help, help.
Yeah. And here's probably one that happens quite a bit.
About once an hour, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Someone says, our boss is an idiot.
Not our boss, obviously.
Not our boss. No, of course not. But someone, right? Your boss or someone else you work alongside with. And what you could say in that moment is, I can see where you're coming from.
Well, what you could say is, I agree. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
Or you could start an entire rant about how your boss is an idiot.
You could say, idiot doesn't even begin to explain, right?
And what we're going to tell you is what you should say instead, essentially. Yeah.
Instead, say, I can see where you're coming from. I think what he's trying to do is this, right? Or you could say something like, I expect this whole situation probably looks different from where they are or where their seat is, right? You could say something like, you know, the plan doesn't make sense to me either. Should we ask some questions, you think, about you know, what it entails or what's next. Or you could say, perhaps we could suggest doing this part differently next time and have an alternative or an idea, right?
Again, it's about acknowledging it. It's about saying, yes, I get where you're coming from, and then moving to something more productive. We're not agreeing with their feelings about it. We're understanding that they're frustrated, but we're not agreeing. And you know, I can understand why somebody would want the 6 a.m. flight instead of the 8 a.m. flight. That doesn't mean I'm going to get on it.
Right.
I know. And maybe we can agree on the 7 between us.
Yeah.
We can do something productive. We can find a way out of this stalemate.
Exactly.
If you have a team of project managers who need management training and need to get their PDU credits, good news. Manager Tools is now an authorized training partner of the Project Management Institute, and all of our conferences are now pre-approved by the PMI so that members can claim professional development credits by attending training. So you get both. They get their professional development credits and their management training, so you only have to pay for training once. If you have a group of managers and you would like one of our presenters to come to you, contact Maggie@manager-tools.com.
Our next point is, don't ignore it, okay? Ignoring someone being negative about someone or something is just like condoning, right? It's basically co-signing by omission, right? Mm-hmm. You're just, you know, you're saying it's, you're tolerating it, right? And so, if you ignore someone who says, you know, John is a jerk, whether you agree or you don't agree, it's going to be assumed that you agree.
Yeah. If you say nothing, it's assumed you agree.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's why in our gossip guidance, we say, remove yourself, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the steps is, you know, to get out of that situation. So it's not seen that you agree or that you're, you know, guilty by association. So yeah, it's going to be seen as though you're agreeing, and even if you haven't added to it or piled on with your own examples, it's still going to be seen as a tacit agreement.
Mm-hmm. So the quote, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing," is usually attributed to Edmund Burke. But I looked it up, and the essence of the quote comes from the utilitarian philosopher John Stuart Mill, who delivered an 1867 inaugural address at the University of St. Andrews, and he said, "Let not anyone pacify his conscience by the delusion that he can do no harm if he takes no part and forms no opinion." In other words, if you don't do anything and you don't have an opinion, you cannot still delude yourself that you're not doing any harm.
Yeah, you're complicit.
So some things you could say. Yelling in the meeting wasn't cool, but John is generally level-headed. I think he's just having a bad day. Or, you know, he can be a bit abrasive, but he really wants the best for the team. Or, he's a high D. You know, he doesn't mean anything by it.
Mm-hmm.
Next time, I think we should take that kind of discussion offline. I don't think an audience helped.
Yeah.
Or, I thought your presentation was well done. I can see where he was coming from with those numbers, and I still think you got your overall point across to him.
Yeah, just some examples.
Yeah, again, it's not agreeing. It's agreeing with the feeling of, you know, someone else can feel that John is a jerk, and you can say, I can see why you would think that, and let's put a positive spin on it.
Absolutely. So our final point is, build relationships on positive interactions. Building relationships on positive factors, it's going to take longer. It could be a longer term strategy. And I would say in a lot of cases, it's going to take more effort, but it's better. It's better in every way, better for those relationships, better for your total number of relationships that you can cultivate in not having to have enemies in order to have good relationships. And definitely it's going to increase the longevity of your relationships.
So build relationships on a common goal. So one reason teams need a common enemy is they don't have a common goal. If you imagine a team with a launch date, and then imagine a team who's just doing business as usual, The team with the launch date, a common goal, has energy and they're united. They're pitching in for one another. They're verbally supporting each other. They have things on the wall with, you know, the launch date and how many T minus so many days, and they have graphs and, you know, all of those things and excitement because they want to meet the goal. They've got something to work towards. Whereas, you know, a team doing business as usual, they might have some graphs, but, you know, it's this year compared with last year, and it's probably much smaller percentage points. You know, there's no countdown, there's nothing, there's no excitement mm-hmm. about it. And you can't always have a launch date as your common goal, but the goalless team is much more likely to fall prey to the common enemy strategy than one that's focused on a common goal. And if you're a business as usual kind of team, then you've got to find one of those common goals to rally around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. Another thing is build relationships based on assistance, right? When you're the one that everyone knows they can come to for help, whether it's a, you know, technical answer, where to find something, an idea about what, you know, maybe what the next step is or what to do next, an idea about who to ask, or maybe someone, you know, just to listen, your value to each of the people that you help is tremendous. And people like this are the linchpins of teams. They always have a friend of whom to ask a favor because they've done so many favors for other people in the past. This means you have to be on top of your work in order to get the time that you need to help others. So yeah, this strategy is a little more difficult, but it's a career builder, being able to be seen as helpful and an asset, a benefit.
And it's one of those where everybody will support your promotion because they like mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
And another way to build relationships is based on caring, which is not cool. But you can genuinely care about your work, your coworkers, and your customers. And we're not teenagers anymore, so we don't need the refuge of not being cool. Hopefully, we've all grown up now, and we can indulge in professional love, which is exerting ourselves or taking risks on behalf of or for the benefit of the people we work with. We can care about somebody's well-being without particularly liking them, in the same way that we don't have to like them to work with them. Like, we're not going to like everybody in the organization, but if we're working with them, we can want to work well with them.
Exactly. And we can build relationships based on communication. So said every therapist in every session everywhere, building relationships is based on communication. But you don't need to get into therapy talk when thinking about communication. We're not talking about hopes and dreams here. We're talking about, you know, what you've done and what you're about to do. You know, a lot of organizations are engaging in, you know, Agile and Scrum. And so the three recommended daily questions for, you know, a daily stand-up in a Scrum meeting are, what did I do yesterday that helped the development team meet the sprint goal? What will I do today to help the development team meet the sprint goal? And lastly, do I see any impediment that prevents me or the development team from meeting the sprint goal? Those questions are as good as any to guide the communication that you have with the people on your team, your colleagues, your peers, and the people that you collaborate with in your organization, and even your customers. Proactive communication is seen as a positive action to make other people's jobs easier. That's why it builds relationships.
The common enemy strategy is easy. It's easy to agree with negativity. It's easy to criticize. It's easy to belittle. I was on a conference call last night about a Toastmasters conference. It's an annual thing where we bring everybody together and there's education sessions, and somebody was saying, oh, I heard this negative feedback about what's going on. It's not going to be as good this year as last year. And I said, there's always criticism. If that person's not willing to be on the committee and help, not listening, because it's true. every year somebody has criticisms, but they're not doing the work, so I'm not going to listen. It is so easy to stand on the sidelines and criticize, and it's so much harder to do the work. It's much harder to be the positive force in a team or on the workforce, especially when times are hard. And just being human, you know that achieving the hard things is worth it. It's harder to live well than it is to live easy, but it's a better life.
That's right.
Oh, God, all sentimental. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.